Good morning. I'd like to do the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, everyone, for coming. It's our July 9th meeting at 9 a.m. Start out with public comment. If we have any, we'd ask folks to come to the microphone and give us their name, please. No public comment?
Good morning, everybody. My name is Dave Handley, and I live at 6642 East Harbor Drive. And I don't know if this is the right time or not to talk about the sewer, or is that on the agenda? One of the things that we've been noticing where we live, my wife has, and we have between 30 and 70 geese residing in the harbor. And I was thinking about the last meeting when we had very little E. coli and then E. coli count of 600. Well, I think that's just timing when the geese came back. Early in the spring, they're not here. They're migratory. When they come back, they bring all their stuff with them. And then when they have their, I don't know what they're called, chicks, geeslings, goslings, whatever. But each family, we have three families, and they have between 7 and 12. And they're going up on the lawns, of course, eating and doing their business. And Mr. Stern's got these high-power sprinklers, which are going to roll that stuff right down into Inwood Harbor. So I was thinking about it as to why it was so high after we had the channel dredged. Well, it's just about in timing with all the geese. Now, they'll be leaving in the fall. Well, most of them will be leaving to go live on the golf course, all right? But then that's the deal with Elk Lake, all right? But they'll be gone in the autumn, so before we take some drastic steps, that maybe a period of sampling over maybe a year to determine what's going on there might make some sense. And then I do have a question. Has there been any work or contemplation being done about testing our E. coli to find out its origin, whether it's human or not?
The answer to that is yes.
Okay. And do we have those results today?
No.
Okay. At any time that you expect them?
I'm not clear on that yet. We're continuing the sampling that we've been doing, and we've also worked on getting samples set up for, I believe the sample's been pulled. I'm not even sure of that, but I believe it's been pulled for the human testing. So I'm hopeful we'll get results in the next 30 to 60 days.
Okay, that's good news. And there was an error brought out at the last meeting, and it was implied that all the homes on in Inwood Harbor were built on spoils from dredging the harbor itself, and all of the land there is Bridgman sand, and there is spoils on about the first 18 inches of land. I had my septic replaced, my field, because it was not working after 30-some years. And I saw the excavation, and for about this down, it was spoils, and after that, it was pure sand, just like the sand that they've excavated at Conrad's yard. And that is the best kind of sand and soil for septic systems. Now, it doesn't mean there couldn't be one that's not performing properly, but we are not built on non-suitable soil. And that's all I have to say for right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? Okay, not hearing, excuse me, not hearing any, we'll move on. Approval of the agenda. Do we have any changes to make on the agenda? Not hearing of any, I would entertain a motion.
I move to approve the agenda.
Support.
Do we have support? Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye, please.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And I might note we have a full board. Consent agenda. Is there anything that needs to be changed there? If not, I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept the consent agenda as written.
Support.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? We'll need a roll call vote, please.
Roll call. Roll call. Holtz?
Yes.
Eisenhart?
Yes.
Szymanski?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes.
Boisvert, yes?
Yes. Motion carries. Move on to Sheriff and Commissioner report. Not seeing the Sheriff or the Commissioner here.
We didn't get one either, huh?
Well, we didn't.
And the reason you didn't is because the person was not on vacation that ran the computers, and then we'll get it till today or tomorrow.
Okay. So we have no report. Oh, well, that'll make it quick. Okay, we'll move on to Ambulance Department, MMR.
Okay, for the month of June, for Elk Rapids Township and Village, there was 11 calls for service, and there were nine people transported to the hospital. Village had 7, and Elk Rapids Township had 2. It's a pretty slow month. Thank God. That's good.
Anything further? Any questions? Discussion? Okay, we'll move on. Fire Department, Chief Williamson.
Good morning, Ken Williamson, Fire Chief. The Fire Department, as just like the ambulance, we had a very uneventful June. We only had 6 incidents. That's the way we like it. We'll take that again in July. And actually, two of the 6 were EMS assist calls, 2 were false alarms, and 2 were canceled water rescues to mutual aid departments. So we really, on the fire side, were quite slow in June. So that's a good thing, though. We like it. Our staff's still at 20 people. We're still tossing around some options with our SCBA compressor. The bottles have been set out to be hydro-tested. We're hopefully, if we replace that system, we'll be able to reuse those storage bottles anyways. So that's where we are with that. We are going to convert some more of the station over to LED here. Hopefully that's going to happen here this next month. All the DOT maintenance has been completed on the trucks. Everything's in good shape. All the SCBA units have been flow tested and are in good working order. We did attend that active assailant training up in Central Lake with the ERPD, and it was quite eye-opening. I'm got a meeting scheduled with Chief Santala there, and we're going to try to not really mimic it because it was on a very grand scale, but come up with our own plan for our community here. We're hopefully to get a meeting together here in the next couple of weeks and decide which direction we're going to go with that. Wednesday night, River Street obviously has started. We staffed it on July 3rd, and we'll staff it again the week of Harbor Days. And we have other surrounding, our mutual aid departments are coming in and doing some other nights, so they get some exposure there too. So, and fireworks planning is ongoing. We're right on schedule with that. So that should come up before the village this month for approval, and Sherry's been keeping on top of everything there. So we're good to go. Any questions from
are you still working on, I forgot the program, retention program that you were kind of looking at another form of?
Yeah, we passed the tuition reimbursement was the last part of that, I think.
That, but then you were looking at something else, another part of it you were contemplating doing.
I think we're complete with what we were planning at this point, so.
Okay. The board have anything else?
And I know we do have, we've already had some feedback from the high school. There's a couple students interested in that tuition reimbursement program, so we're excited with that, so.
Great. Okay, well, thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
Move on to HRSA. I see we have a representative here. Hi, Tom.
Morning, I'm Tom Branich with the Historic Elk Rapids Town Hall Association. We've been working to identify problems with the building over the years, of course, and we've put over $200,000 now in the building, and the township has stepped forward and helped us with the exterior. We have a situation now with the masonry out there. It needs repair before it gets worse, and Dick Holtz has helped us identify those problems along with people that will help us repair that. We have two bids for the work, one from Ron Way in the amount of $11,200 for all the work we need done outside, and this should last us for quite a while. A second bid was submitted by Pat Coy for $8,500. However, we're not comfortable with that bid just based on his insurance situation and his certifications. And we feel much more confident with Ron's bid, and Dick can address that. Also, we're looking at writing grants to get funds for the window replacement. And I've mentioned this before, but that is gonna run us probably $80,000. And we're not looking to the township for that money, so we're going to be looking outside for funds. We would, however, like a letter of recommendation from the board and the supervisor to go ahead with those grant requests. So if we can get that in the next couple, 3 weeks, that'd be great. We're going to start submitting grant applications, but we'd love to have that support from you to go ahead with that on your behalf. And we have a full calendar this summer. It's I think we have 8 weddings happening there this year, and a lot of other community events, so we appreciate all the support from the township.
And this grant again is for windows,
for the replacement of the exterior tall arched windows.
Mm-hmm.
And there's especially on the west side facing the bay, those are rotting out at the bottom, and they're probably a couple, 3 years left on them, and those are the critical three right there along that side. So we have kind of a timetable. We need to get those replaced. So anyway.
Is there anything you want to add, Dick, on these two bids? I'm curious, the insurance issue on the one, do they not have workman's comp or?
Coy does not have a contractor. I don't know if he has a contractor's license or not, but he does not have insurance. Liability insurance, so I would be very hesitant to employ the guy on a property that we own. I think Aaron agrees. You know. The other Mason that bid it is a licensed contractor. I do know he's worked for me in other jobs, and he is insured.
Okay.
His number is relatively the same. The 11-2 can be broken out, and we can hold off on the $4,000 because Jim Lundy and I are going to take down the metal stair. Timetable yet to be determined, but that can stay unrepaired for a year. I don't see that to be an issue. There'll be a few holes in the masonry.
Okay, so what you're saying is we back the bid down a little bit due to
we're
going to
back
stairway.
It down to $7,200, but the $7,200 needs to be done, or needs to at least get on the schedule so it's done before fall, before it freezes. It's the degradation is accelerating.
So if we make a motion today, $7,500 roughly, Is that enough to do what we need to do, or do you need the full 11 too?
No, we can scrape by with the 7,500, 7,200, although I understand it's more than Mike's budget allows for this year by about 1,000.
Well, that was going to be the next question. How much can Mike squeeze out?
Guys, you're squeezing me, man. I tell you.
That's why I already tried to back him down a little bit, Mike.
Yeah, I know.
I think you got 5 in reserve and 3 in maintenance or something like that.
Yeah, I have a few bucks sitting around somewhere.
So we should be able to do.
We should be able to do it.
That. Okay. Not to exceed 8.
That's
for the year.
Yes, this is it. I mean, there are no other functions that we anticipate undertaking in that building in 19.
When would this job be done?
Scheduling with Mr. Way, probably September, mid-September.
Oh, okay. Well, what's the board's pleasure?
My thought is to take care of the essentials.
Okay. Is that a motion, Aaron?
I can make the motion. I don't know if Tom was done or not. But
yes.
Yeah, we're. Thank you. I'm not trying to cut you out, Tom.
No.
I want to get.
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve expenditures of, what do we want to say, up to 7,500 this year for the masonry repair.
Do we have any support?
Yeah, I support.
Okay. Got support. Any further discussion?
The only other thing that should be added to that is Tom has a source. There is brick available with, help me out here.
Neil Warner has 350 of the yellow bricks, which are hard to find. And he's offered them to us for 75 cents a piece, so I'd like to.
Will that do the job?
Yeah.
Close. Close plus, close minus, I'm not sure. I would say more minus than plus, but we may have to blend a few newer brick in.
Okay.
But the mason's capable of doing that, so.
Okay. Do you want to do a roll call vote?
Mm-hmm.
No further discussion?
I'm good.
Okay.
All right, roll call. Eisenhart.
Yes.
Schimansky.
Yes.
Amos.
Yes.
Boisvert, yes. Hultz.
Yes.
Motion passes. Not to interrupt, Tom, but go ahead now. Got that out of the
we're
way.
Good. Thank you so much. That's about it. We've got a couple new board members, and we're looking forward to the future. We may have to replace our events person this fall. She's formed her own health care company, but we're confident we can find someone. So,
who's your new board members?
Teresa Connect. Chris Ludi is another one, and we're looking at another person to bring on. So,
okay,
all right, thank you. And if we can get that letter, that'd be wonderful.
Okay,
all right, thank you.
Thanks, Tom. We'll move on. Maple Grove Cemetery. We've got a special meeting this afternoon at 4 p.m. to explain the expenditures and the millage request. We had a meeting. A few weeks ago, we didn't have very much attendance, probably one person, I guess, actually. So we're hopeful for better attendance this time. And as it happened, yesterday Shelley got information, we had another rather large tree down. So we've got quite a little bit of work to do out there, I'm afraid. And by the driving through there yesterday looking for this tree, I identified some more trees that should be replaced, and this wasn't because of a windstorm. The tree just came down simply because it's old and rotted, so I'm sure we probably got at least a dozen more that could be affected, and the rest of the tree of this tree will come down if we have a windstorm. So we're gonna have some added cleanup this year, probably above what we were planning for the actual maintenance of the grass and what have you. So just an update on that. I don't know if Shelley has anything else to add. Okay, we'll move on. Farmland and open space. We have Glenn Chow and Laura Riggin here. If you'd like, both like to step up from Grand Traverse Land Conservancy. Don't be shy, Laura.
Come on up, Laura. Thank you, Dorrance, and good morning. I'm Glenn Chown, the Executive Director of the Grand Traverse Regional Land Conservancy, and I've been in that role for 28 years. So one of the exciting things is our organization is very committed to preserving farmland in open space, and we've had a lot of success in those past 28 years. So I'm going to talk about some of the history, but also the importance of the ballot initiative on August 6th to preserve farmland and open space. And Laura's our farmland preservation specialist, so she's the one that does the transactions and assists townships that actually have programs, so she can answer the technical questions, and I'm going to talk about the overall vision and what everyone's trying to accomplish here. So for some background, and also to clarify the Conservancy's role, there's been some confusion. Well, what is the Conservancy doing? So hopefully by the end of this, you'll understand better our role. Background, in 2004, Antrim County adopted a farmland and open space development rights ordinance, recognizing that loss of farmland was a very significant issue. In fact, between 2012 and 18, thousands of acres, I think as much as 7,000 acres, went out of production in Antrim County. So this is an issue. Change is happening. The average age of farmers is now 60. Tart cherry industry is in rough shape because of the price, international issues, and then there's the ongoing weather issues. So we're concerned that there's going to be further change and a lot of farms that are going to be transitioning and hopefully not into subdivision developments. So this ordinance was passed by Antrim County, and both Milton and Elk Rapids Township not only passed resolutions but their own ordinances in support back in 2004. In November of 2004, five townships in Antrim and Grand Traverse County proposed millages to fund a farmland and open space preservation program. Only Acme Township passed. Since then, Acme Township has renewed their millage. So 04 and in 2014, voters said, we like this, and voted to renew this. And what was interesting is the margin that it passed in 04 to 14 significantly increased. Some 60% of the voters voted to pass it in 14. So they looked at the program, they looked at the results, and said, we like this. It's working, and here are the numbers. The first round, they protected about 810 acres, and the second round, there's either 1,000 acres in either application or in process. The other interesting thing is this program has leveraged millions of dollars in state and federal grants. And what's impressive is the farmers themselves are donating 25% of the value of their development rights. So that's a lot of skin in the game and a lot of commitment by our agricultural community that we're pretty proud of. Acme was following in the footsteps of Peninsula Township, which was one of the first township programs in the United States. And why? Because we are in one of the most unique fruit-growing regions in America. It's why Michigan is the second most diverse egg state after California. in terms of numbers of crops. So we have something special here. We can grow things better than anywhere else, fruit. And Peninsula Township recognized that if they didn't do something, subdivisions were going to go right up the spine of the peninsula, and they would lose their agricultural heritage and their rural character. So they passed a millage in 1994, and they renewed their millage for 20 years in 2002. They increased it because they were so happy with it. And by very strong margins in 2002, I think, again, about 60% of the voters. That program has preserved over 3,347 acres. And the Conservancy has done matching projects of a couple thousand acres. So Peninsula Township today has preserved over 55% of what they've identified as their ag preservation zone, which is about 9,200 acres. And this is an area that the farmers themselves said these are the most important agricultural areas on the peninsula. And of course, it's in their master plan to try to preserve that. And every time they survey the voters, preserving scenic views, rural characters is at the top of their list, as well as shoreline and water quality. The Conservancy shares these goals of these communities, and of course your community as well, because it's in your master plan. In fact, it's in our mission statement. We have provided technical assistance and support for these programs. We do the deals and the transactions, the appraisals. And it's a complicated process. It's a big decision for farmers. Often it's the entire family that's making the decision, because land tends to be their most important asset. A lot of farmers are, what they say is, land rich, cash poor. So it's a big deal. But what's nice about this type of program is it allows a landowner to bring some capital out of the farm without selling the farm. And when the farm is sold, if it's sold for development, pavement is the last crop. And what we're seeing out on places like Old Mission is that when farmers sell their development rights, A, it's forever. The land is protected forever. B, it's a one-time deal, so it's not like these tax ballot initiatives are not forever. They're for a period of time. And once the overall goals are achieved, there will be no more millages for farmland preservation. But, you know, we got a ways to go here. So once those once that land is protected, often farmers will reinvest it back in the operation. Sometimes it's to do added value agriculture. One example is a farmer took those development rights, sales, monies, proceeds, and built a cold storage facility and started doing direct sales of sweet cherries. They hired more people. Their sales went up. They started marketing in Grand Rapids, Ann Arbor, Detroit, Chicago. And they now have a very profitable farm that was able to be passed on to their kids. So it is a great tool for strengthening the economy of our area. Agriculture is the number two economic factor in our state. And when you add agritourism, because it's not just the crops, but it's also how it impacts our tourism economy as well. Another question we've been getting, so we provide that technical assistance, and that includes, we provided ballot language so that it was proper, legally sound. We've done an educational piece that we've sent out talking about the benefits of farmland preservation and what's at stake, the threats. And the Conservancy's goal is, we can't tell you how to vote. We don't do that. But it's our goal is that the voters will make an informed decision. And because that's America. We're a democracy, and we believe in voters exercising their democratic rights and making an informed decision. Another question that we've been getting is, what about the impact of farmland preservation on water quality? Because what do we treasure in this area? We treasure rural character, scenic views, but we also treasure our water resources. It is our strategic advantage in this region. It's why people want to live here. It's why they want to vacation here. We have some of the best water quality in the nation. Yes, there are issues with E. coli, and we're seeing greater issues with the golden brown algae, even on Torch Lake. So what's the impact of farmland preservation? Well, the vast majority of farmland in Elk Rapids Township is in fruit crops. And fruit crops, a well-managed fruit farm, whether it's orchards, whether it's vineyards, believe it or not, is a very positive factor for water quality. This is not the Lake Erie issue, where there's row crops and high nutrients. Well-managed fruit farms are good for water. The roots keep the water where it's supposed to be, the grass strips. Farmers are very good stewards of their land in this region. They work closely to manage their farms in ways that are water quality friendly. And in fact, fruit farms are one of the best things for water quality, almost as good as just having a forest on your property. And you compare that with sprawling subdivisions where you're going to have impervious surfaces, fertilized lawns, septics. If you're concerned about water quality, protecting farmland is a great investment in the future of your water quality. And the studies and the science shows that, and we're realizing that if we want to protect these lakes and streams, the most important thing is preventing the second and third tier development in far more septic systems than we see today, which of course bring in a whole other level of issues. So a lot of riparian landowners are concerned about what's happening. And we're providing education about the connection between farmland preservation, why it's good for water quality, and we have a lot of information on that that we can share. The other point, and this is related, is the cost of community services. American Farmland Trust have done studies, and of course, Dorrance is well aware of these. And this is really interesting. It's counterintuitive. Farmland, every dollar that they're paying in taxes, farmers pay taxes, require roughly on average in the United States about 37 cents in services. Think about that. Cherry trees don't dial 911, right? It's a pretty good economic strategy. Residential development of the sprawling area out into the countryside where services need to be extended. For every dollar they're contributing, they can require as much as $1.40 or more in services and taxes. So if you want to keep your tax rates down over the long haul, one of the best investments you can make is preserving your agricultural and rural character in your land base. In fact, Peninsula Township, I think one of their most compelling reasons voters supported their millage in 94, back in 94, they looked at what it would cost to run a sewer line up the spine of the peninsula, which is between, depending on where you start, between 16 and 18 miles long. And they calculated in $94 that it would cost $1 million a mile. So they asked the voters, where would you rather spend your money? Preserving the things you love about the peninsula or building more sewer lines up the spine of the peninsula? So it was really a clear choice about what people valued. And we are thrilled that they made that choice. And it's working. It's successful. So there's a lot of issues. The average age of farmers, as I mentioned, is 60. There's pressures on the ag community like we've never seen before. A little bit of stress going on, right, Dorrance?
Yes.
And this is an important tool that we'd like to bring to bear in Antrim County. It's a long-term play. It's about our great-grandchildren. It's about our grandchildren. It's about our kids. It's about the things that we value the most about this region. And in closing, I'll just say that the Conservancy is really pleased to be supporting this township's goals of preserving farmland and open space and protecting the water quality that we all cherish. And we're happy to answer any questions. We have phone numbers. Laura's available. She has an email. We have this publication that went out to all the taxpayers in both townships, a lot of information. And so I just encourage people, talk to your neighbors, take a hard look at this, and make an informed decision. And pleased to be here, so thank you for inviting me, Dorrance.
Glenn, I do have a couple of questions, but I think Laura and I identified in our township, we have roughly, is it 1,200 acres? I'm going from memory, to look at toward preserving. But I'm going to ask a question for Shelley because I've tried to explain it, and I may have not done the best of jobs, but with the matching funds, just so that everybody understands, the township monies will be could be matched up with other funds. Could you explain a little bit about how that works?
Sure. You want to, or I can take it. So right now, there was a farm bill that was passed in 2018. Our Senator Stabenow is the ranking committee member in the Senate Ag Committee. That farm bill had literally millions of dollars, of course that's for the entire United States, for preserving farmland. And our region received a grant a few years ago of nearly $8 million from this federal farmland protection program for both Leelanau County, Grand Traverse County, and Antrim County. So those funds are available, and but they require a 50% match. So they can be paired up with township funds. They can be paired up with landowner donations. And what it's great about it is it extends the impact of local dollars considerably. But those funds are available today.
There's also state funding available for the first time this year, in about 10 years or so, and we see that going into the future. So there's about $2 million available for just municipalities. So Conservancy can't access those state funds. You have to have an ordinance in place to access those state funds.
So as the farmer negotiates, quite often, you may only use 25 to 50% of the township monies
exactly
to match up with the rest of it. So it's not just all township money. There's going to be other monies. And there's also, I've heard, private donations as well that gets matched up.
Yep. Yeah, the Conservancy's in a campaign for generations, and a big component of that campaign is for farmland preservation money, and there's been dollars donated for farmland preservation in the U.S. 31, private dollars. So it's a great opportunity to leverage local support many times over. A lot of information on the website. There's going to be an FAQ going up that we just sent to Shelley for frequently asked questions. And again, this is $1 per every $1,000 of taxable value. So that's how it works, and it is for 10 years. It's not a forever type deal. It's a 10-year commitment if the voters approve this.
Well, and you can correct me where I'm wrong, but I've been asked several times, does the farmland tax level drop, as in property taxes? And my answer has always been no. The property taxes stay the same. They'll still be considered on the state increase each year, the 2 or 3%. It's just that wherever your value is today, it'll stay the same, so there'll be no decrease in farmland taxation property-wise. So they'll still contribute. I think a lot of folks think the tax bill gets stopped. I mean, do you have anything to add to that as well?
I mean, it really is up to your probably assessor, but I mean, it would be similar as if they transfer that, it'd still become uncapped and things like that. So I don't think it would affect it as much as people think it would.
That's the other thing. You just tipped on something. You might want to explain how that land can be sold and how that looks when that farmer decides to sell the property.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about this tool is it's a pro-property rights tool. I'm a big believer in property rights. I know Dorrance is something we share. And it's landowners have the right to preserve their property just as they have the right to develop their property. And when you place a conservation easement on a farm, let's say you have a 100-acre farm and you could do 20 homes on it, and let's say you sell 19 development rights or you sell 18 development rights, that's a negotiated thing. And there's a value, and it's based on a before and after appraisal that has to be done to high standards. And you put a number on that. When those development rights are extinguished, it does cap the value of that land so that it can be sold or can be given to heirs, and that value is capped as its agricultural value, not as its potential development value. So there's some tax advantages. And why give tax advantages to agricultural landowners? Because everyone benefits. Just take a drive on May 15th around Elk Lake Road and see these farms, which are some of the most beautiful farms anywhere. And we all enjoy that. We know we benefit from the water quality protection. We know we benefit from having a healthier economy here and the jobs. It's a quality of life issue. And when farmland is preserved, everyone benefits.
It is true that a non-farmer can buy this property, but it must maintain or be maintained as a farm.
Yeah, we don't tell farmers how to farm. I don't think they appreciate that. But it will always be available for farming. And even though we're in a tough economic time today, I'm confident that given the expertise and the innovative agriculture that's going on and how it's evolving, that over time, this land will be increasingly valuable for farming. California's running out of water, in case you haven't noticed. They've had real severe droughts. They have all kinds of issues with their agricultural economy. Michigan has a secure water source. It's called the Great Lakes. So if we're thinking about this area 100 years out with a population that's world population that's projected to grow over 9 billion people, how valuable is this farmland going to be in 100 years? But if we don't preserve it today, we'll lose that opportunity long term.
Does the board have any other questions? I mean, Dick, Aaron, Mike? Shelley?
No questions, but I do appreciate your explanations. It does help in the large scheme of things for us non-farming people. You know, it did help. Thank you.
Thank you, Shelley.
Is there anyone in the audience that might have a question for Glenn or Laura?
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate being here.
I did want to add, there will be a series of postcards going out, mailings throughout the summer that is paid for by a friends group that is separate from the Conservancy. But you will be getting mailings throughout the summer on some information about the proposal.
Thank you. Anything further on farmland? Okay, we'll move on. Township sewer. Update on Maple Harbor. We did get the drain pipe put in. Matt's underground went out and put in a 4-inch. Along with under Bert's guidance. I believe Matt's is finishing up some of the asphalt work, maybe even today. I'm not just positive, but the follow-up to that was Bert was going to finalize the work at the road end with some more stone and grading. So I'm hopeful that we have the water problem resolved at Maple Harbor. I believe that coming out of that sump, so the sedimentation should still filter out, and the water should run off if we would exceed that pipe. We do, or meet that pipe, it should take all the overflow so we can drain, you know, what has happened there. What's, you know, we went over it 100 times, but by the way, the road was designed to try to keep the water from flowing out into the yards. It's created a type of funnel, so we're, from my understanding, it's going into this sump, and now we have an overflow way out, at least. So I think it should be taken care of. I know Shelley had a call or question about some debris at the road end. And correct me where I'm wrong, but in talking with Bert, Bert fired back with a response that seems as if it's a neighborhood issue and it's not something he was going to delve into. And we have no jurisdiction on the road ends, really. So Bert has given a response, but then Shelley, you came up with some more information afterwards.
Right. The road ends do belong to the road commission, but sometimes in the neighborhood, people think that it's part of their neighborhood and they have a right to do things and to use those road ends as they see fit. And one of the neighbors went in and totally took down trees and brush and other things from the road end and piled it up at the end and put his own little sign up saying boat launch, and then just left it there. Other neighbors really couldn't do anything to stop that, but we did report that to the road commission and left it to Bert, but I don't think anything's going to be done with that. So we had that issue earlier when we were doing construction and we were trying to stabilize the road ends after the sewer, and someone thought, no, you're blocking my way. This is my way to the water, and took down our barricades and took down our sandbags and went in and ripped up the area again. So we had to come back and redo things. We're trying to work with all the neighbors out there and trying to make things go smooth. But once in a while, there's a little blip and some explanation is needed from our end or from the road commission end. Hopefully we can get that taken care of.
No, I haven't been out there recently to see if the material's been moved, but let's hope it has. But Bert has responded, and we've heard about it. Let's just put it that way. So hopefully all is good in Maple Harbor, and we have that resolved. And then again, I would reiterate on the Inwood Harbor. What I'd said earlier during public comment was we did continue the sampling as we agreed upon. I think they pulled samples a week ago, Tuesday, and then either today or tomorrow. And Brad from Performance had found someone who would do the human E. coli sampling. So I can't remember, he didn't really tell me, but he had that taken care of. And I believe the sample has been taken. So we may know something in the next, 30 to 60 days. So that'll be ongoing, and we're going to run a cycle as we talked about. So is there anything else further on sewer? Okay, we'll move on. Township Park. The quitclaim deed was sent out. And, well, since Glenn's here, you may have been contacted on the properties already. But our concern was with the stipulations on the property itself for us to go forward, what we were really asking for is to try to get back a clean deed that we could do a park, but without the restrictions and the control of points. That was really our whole intention in this because of what has happened out there already with the shooting club and our expenses that have been spent, or our expenditures have been made there well above, $700,000. So we didn't want to walk ourselves into another nightmare. So that's really what this board was trying to achieve during that point. So we're hopeful maybe the folks will understand that and then would be feel like they wanted to actually donate the property, because we never owned the property. We just had the right to use it as long as it was to follow these stipulations. I don't know if, Bill, you have anything further you want to add to that?
I believe the deed was sent to the heirs June 11th. As of yesterday, it has not been recorded yet.
Okay. So, and what would have been the simple way for them just to turn it back around, Bill, if they were to give it to us? Or I know they've contacted Conservancy and others, but if they make that choice.
If they make that choice, we'll consider it. But yes, they could simply, I want more than the deed returned, okay? I'd want a deed releasing the township from the restrictions contained in the prior documents.
Okay. Does the board have any questions or thoughts on that?
The deed removes a restriction, but does it give us ownership?
It would.
It would give us ownership. Okay.
I think what Bill,
the court case said that those four heirs did own it. Okay. It made that determination.
So then we would have ownership and complete control of that parcel.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think this board, I can speak from history, we thought we did own it. I think even, Bill, you thought we owned it, fee simple. Judge Rogers made that determination that we did not own it. So that was part of the rub on this whole deal. So I don't know if there's anything further on that point. We'll continue to wait and see what happens. Okay, nothing further. We'll move on. Acme to Charlevoix trail update. Shelley and I met with Julie, and the other lady's name escapes me. But since you can't remember, I feel better.
Casey.
Okay. And we just talked about what was coming as far as, correct me where I'm wrong here, but the direction of the bike trail from Acme Township to Elk Rapids has been decided at this point to come up the west side of the road. They're not sure yet when they hit the village lines if they'll come down Bayshore or come on up to up into Elk Rapids and make a turn somewhere there. That's yet to be worked out with the village, and I don't know if they've decided yet.
No, they've actually gotten a committee within the village to work with that and see what would be best.
And what Shelley and I asked them to do, because they were looking for support from us, and we explained to them we don't have a financial ability to do that at this time with our budgets, but they're looking for support, I believe, for grants down the road. But I said, we would consider it, I'm sure, as a board, but we really want them to go out and reach out to the landowners on the west side of the road and try to get some type of support, if possible, from any of the landowners along the west side. I know that we've talked with Bill and Larry, our zoning administrator, about working with those landowners on some of the challenges that will be raised, with signage, entrances, and different things through our zoning site. Because some of our stuff out there is non-conforming, in a sense, whether it be signage or actual road location. So our understanding is the bike trail will go all the way to the west side of the line of the road easement. So it's going to maybe, as you can well guess, from probably, 365 South, there'll be some challenges for them. So we've encouraged them to go out and try to meet with these landowners privately and try to make something out of it so that it's not, you know, a real negative approach before they go on, because I think a lot of folks may feel that this isn't going to happen for 5 to 10 years, but they've assured us that they'd like to see it in 3 to 5, so it's going to happen. And I'm encouraged that they'll go out and talk with these people. Do you have anything you wanted to add to that, Shelley?
No, that's...
Is there any other questions about the bike trail? Okay. We'll move on. We'll go to attorney's report. Bill?
Attorney's report for July. I don't have the June figures. You will get them as soon as I get them. I'll forward them to you for the Andrew County Sheriff's Department. Number of... I can report last June they had 56, so I don't anticipate a lot. The sheriff was at Antrim County's, or excuse me, Milton Township's meeting last night and did report that they had less than 5 arrests at the sandbar party over the 4th of July. It was a very slow time. He also reported that he was attempting to issue a ticket, misdemeanor ticket, for recreational marijuana, but could not do it. He couldn't find any. So that was another positive, but it wasn't. He wanted to try it with a case and have it appealed and go on up so he can get, so the police department can obtain some direction as to how the courts are going to interpret the new statutes on that. But no tickets issued on that. Metro X, we should be getting the payment pretty quick if they haven't already.
I already have.
Good. Farmland, open space. We've had a presentation today by Grand Traverse Regional Land Conservancy regarding the same. We've also talked about the Sportsman's Club, basically, or the Wilcox Park. As of yesterday, the deed has not been recorded. Planning Commission, there's nothing to be scheduled until September. Frank Mighty's up for the doors, but if there's going to be any spraying by Antrim County, but the water's so high, I don't know. Frank Money's left. Bertha, we've heard a report from Don Barnish on that. Zoning Board of Appeals has a variance request this afternoon at 3 p.m. meeting, hearing, to put an accessory building on a lot without primary structure as required by the Elk Rapids Township zoning ordinance. Elk Rapids Sewers, you've heard about the status of them. And Maple Harbor being done, and their continuing investigation. I did talk to Brad Mumma last night about the sewer or the water testing. He's keeping the same number of sites in Inwood Harbor. He's also expanded them to 2 sites, north and south, at the mouth on the Bayside. So there will be additional investigation sites there. It will take a while because they've got to separate the sites and then mail it out somewhere, not in the state of Michigan, to get the E. coli testing done. Sewer extensions, just for your information. Additionally, Milton Township bids were opened to bore, basically, from Williams Drive, Williams Road, to the Oasis. The bid came in from Matt's Underground at a little over $162,000 to do it. There's no agreement, as my knowledge, there's no agreement with the village yet to take the sewage waste. It's still being negotiated. Medical marijuana, nothing new on recreational marijuana. I haven't seen them, but if you've heard the news or paper, there has been rules issued by the state of Michigan, published for the recreational marijuana. Rules are similar to the medical marijuana. Nothing new on the hemp. I did advise before that there was at least 2 farmers that are exploring with the state of Michigan the possibility of growing hemp, one in Milton Township, one in Whitewater Township. It's a very costly thing to get started into, so we don't know. Cemetery, again, we have a meeting today at 4 o'clock on proposed millage. Encourage everybody to come. Short-term rentals, I'll just point out that there was, there has been a new Court of Appeals case that upheld a township regulation of short-term rentals in an R zone. Nothing new on small cell towers. This township has two pending ballot questions. One for farmland preservation, one mill, 10 years. The second one is for the cemetery, 0.6 mil for 10 years. That'll be on the August 6th ballot. Tar Trail, we've already heard about. That's all I have for tonight.
Okay, thanks, Bill. Does the board have any questions for Bill? Okay, we'll move on. Township board announcements. Correspondence. The only thing I know about is on Clearwater Point. Yesterday there was graveling done, and that project on the road should be completed by today. I was told the rest of our road projects will probably take off. Well, they were talking the end of July, but due to weather, it may work into August for the rest of our road upgrades or maintenance. Do you have anything, Mike, you want to add?
Tax bills are out.
So you're happy about that?
Yeah, I'm collecting a few bucks.
Dick, would you care to bring us up to speed on what's going on over at the library?
The library board meeting for the month will be Thursday at 5 o'clock, of which I'll attend. There is a 70th anniversary celebration on July 21st at the library. There has been a resignation of one board member, the Elk Rapids appointee, Sarah Ward.
The village? Elk Rapids Village?
Elk Rapids Village. I don't know where that is going to, how she's going to be replaced. And there's ongoing fundraising underway.
Okay. Any questions for Dick about the library? Okay. Anything else as far as correspondence? Shelley, do you have anything?
No.
Anything new on elections?
No.
Other than they're going to happen?
We do have ballots in the office. If people wanted to do absentee ballots, all you have to do is come in my office with your photo ID and I can give you a ballot for that. Otherwise, the election will be held here August 6th with the two proposals on the ballot.
So otherwise, if you show up the day of, we can register then too. I knew you'd want to hear that.
New law.
There's nothing new on that as far as how that's going to work?
No.
That's going to be a challenge. Board?
I have a question for the audience, Mr. Henley in particular. Should the board's engineers find that the E. coli in Inwood Harbor is of human origin, would you support the sewer project?
Well, I believe I would, and so would everybody else. Our big concern from the group of my neighbors is we don't want to do what happened down in where they spent a fortune, and it was still just as contaminated with E. coli because it was animal E. coli. And if we're always going to have animal E. coli. So if we have a health concern that our septics are not functioning, I would want to do some septic testing. And if we can get the one or two, or if they're all bad, to see what we're dealing with. But if we have significant human E. coli in the water, then we have a true problem and we'll have to address it appropriately.
Thank you.
Is there anything further from the board? Okay, meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.